from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Let's welcome in our next guest on the Wade4.com hotline, our good buddy Caleb Johnson. Caleb, before we get into some hoops, how many dates did you know before you met your wife that you wanted to be with her long term?
So, Chris, I have the unique circumstance of I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. However, when I first met her, thought she was incredibly weird, strange, a bad influence, like wanted nothing to do with her for the first probably year that we knew each other. And then things just kind of changed my senior year of high school. We started dating. So when I knew, I mean, it took a long time to, like, I guess kind of come around. But then once that feeling hit, it was a pretty immediate sort of thing. So it's very difficult kind of to determine that as far as, like, you know, I mean, I was 17 years old. I wasn't thinking about marriage. So, yeah, weird circumstances, but I'd say it took me a while, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking the question, because I think so many people have so many different answers to it. And, all right, another thing I want your answer on is, Caleb, as we start, I do have a couple of Hawks questions we'll get to at the end, but I mainly want to talk about the Olympics men and women's team. First of all, off the court, when did we start caring about how many minutes people play in these games? Because I feel like I've seen more tweets and articles about that than I have about the actual dominance of the U.S. team.
Okay, but I think that is what comes when you are dominant. Like, people run out of storylines because we've reached a point where, you know, obviously after the disappointment, what are we talking, 12 years ago now at this point? I'm trying to remember, you know, when the U.S. actually kind of disappointed. But ever since, we've had some real star power involved in this sort of thing. And they've been pretty dominant outside of some, you know, your warm-up games when you're getting ready to go, when you're figuring out lineups and all that sort of stuff. Because there isn't the real concern, like, it always is going to exist that you could come out one day and just absolutely not be able to knock down shots and the other team be lightning hot. But outside of that reality, it's just the known fact that the U.S. is going to be dominant. So because of that, it's like, well, what else are we going to talk about? Oh, you mean that the recent NBA champion, Jason Tatum, isn't playing in a game? And it's like, well, yeah, that's going to happen because of the circumstances of who is out on the floor. And then, you know, obviously ending up with Joel Embiid not playing, that making a whole lot more sense in a game, you know, size matchups. all of those sorts of things. Like, so for Steve Kerr to have to come out and say the most obvious thing ever, which is, hey, we're going to take this game by game and play guys based on their strengths and based on the matchups that we're getting, like you would see on any NBA team, because these guys are all stars and not just, you know, regular rotation guys that you would typically see as your 11th, 12th man on a team, it gets blown up out of proportion, made to be a really big deal. That I think the only thing we can take away from all of it is there's been one glaring part to me, which is I don't know that Joel Embiid is that good of a fit for this men's U.S. team, you know, with the style of basketball that he plays, where really needs the ball and really slows everything down. He's good against, you know, when you have a taller team that you're going to face, when you've got some bigger guys. But other than that, I think everything kind of gets blown out of proportion, and I expect the U.S. to kind of roll on to a gold medal.
Shouldn't this also be, as we appreciate the careers of LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, in which probably this will be all three of their last Olympics, certainly the last ones together? I know Steph's not playing great, but shouldn't it be a situation where we let those guys try to get one more and lead the way in doing so?
Sure, but it's also LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant, three guys who notoriously, when it comes to our industry of, you know, sports entertainment, love to kind of take these guys down for one reason or another. You know, with LeBron, it's the GOAT conversation. With KD, it's, oh, well, he left and went and joined the Warriors. With Steph, it's like, oh, well, you know, he's too small, and can he really do it all himself? He needed to create a super team around him, kind of thing. Like, it's guys who we have just historically in this industry taken down for one reason or another, instead of enjoying their greatness. And I think you make a great point that we should absolutely be going, like, man, we've got real legends out here, that this is going to be the last opportunity that we get to see them all play together. And I won't be surprised that it'll be a thing where, you know, 3 years from now, when we're putting a new roster together and looking back and going, oh, you know, we should have enjoyed the moment more of having these guys. We got headband LeBron back today, Chris. Like, that was the thing. Like, we got throwback, you know, versions of these guys. And it's been so much fun to watch. And I do think there will be some regret for a lot of people looking back and not appreciating what we're getting to witness over what's now going to be the next week.
Talking with our good buddy Caleb Johnson, covers the Hawks here and the NBA for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, chopping up some Olympics. Now, over to the women's side, Caleb, I'm a little confused, and maybe I'm just missing it, but given the popularity of the WNBA this season, I haven't seen as much buzz about the women's Olympic team, though I know they are obviously great and should be expected to win it all. What do you know about how they're doing so far, and maybe why the men's team is not, or the women's team rather, is not catching up to the men's team in terms of the buzz?
You know, as far as the buzz, I think it's just this team is kind of, as far as the women goes, like, they've been dominant without many storylines in times past. Like, you know, I mean, I think the biggest thing was All-Star Weekend, a couple weeks ago, when you had the WNBA All-Stars face off against Team USA and beat them, which kind of showed that the young rising stars in the W are on that level and maybe already a little bit better, at least playing with one another. I don't really know what to take away from the women's basketball side of this thing when it comes to the Olympics, just because the level of competition that they're facing hasn't caught up to what the men's side is facing. Like, that is where the conversation has really shifted, where you've got a Canada team on the men's side where you've got, I'm trying to remember, I think it's 11 of those guys are in the NBA, whereas, you know, if you go back to, like, the Dream Team, I think they faced a total of six guys who were in the NBA through every team that they faced. So, you know, with the game growing, I think it's just caught up more globally on the men's side than it has the women's side. So when you have, you know, the U.S. kind of dominating in that area, even if in certain games the actual game itself is a little bit tighter, I think just because the competition that they're facing is a little bit less known and not as much a part of the W, it just hasn't really translated as well. But they're not, like, I fully expect the U.S. team, led by Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart, you know, to just kind of to run through their side of the tournament, take gold as they, I think they've done every year, you know, for at least the last five Olympics. So it's just one of those, the storylines really haven't been there. The drama that we've kind of created on the men's side of the game was to a South Sudan team that comes out of nowhere and gives them a real run for their money in those exhibition matches. Like, we just haven't seen that on the women's side. And, you know, I think that's part of why we haven't seen those storylines be any bigger.
Before I let you go, a couple of quick Hawks notes. They decide that Bruno Fernando not going to be in the mix for next season. Why, out of all the centers that they have, why him?
I think, honestly, Chris, this just comes down to he was the most expendable. It's an unfortunate part of this because I want to make thing, you know, one thing very clear. Like, the Hawks did not want to get rid of, did not want to waive Bruno Fernando. That is why when his contract was set to be guaranteed 2 months ago, they delayed that and then delayed it again, because what they were trying to do is figure out a way to get rid of probably either Clint Capela or a Larry Nance Jr., because those are guys who, you know, with Clint on an expiring contract, with Larry Nance Jr., just an older rotational guy, someone that would probably be better suited on a contending team or just a different roster in general. They had five centers, and it was just there's no way they were going to go into training camp with that number. Bruno was a team-friendly deal that they didn't have to guarantee his contract. They could waive him like they did, and so he just became the odd man out. It's unfortunate because I think what Bruno did last year, stepping in when both Clint and Onyeka got hurt and having to play some big minutes, I think he did a really great job with that. I think he is an incredible third center and maybe a backup on certain teams. And he's a great locker room fit as well. I mean, there's just no one more fun in the Hawks locker room than Bruno Fernando. But it's the unfortunate side of this is, you know, when it becomes a business and you have to make those tough decisions. And Bruno was the most expendable because of that contract, because it wasn't guaranteed they could waive him. And he ends up seeing his way out.
Finally, before I let you go, I'm seeing all this. Dyson Daniels is amazing. Have you seen what he's done for Australia? Are you buying that, Caleb?
Yes, Chris. That was like, it was a big part of why I was perfectly fine when they made the DeJounte Murray trade. I wasn't panicking like I think a lot of people were as to, hey, they should have been a bigger return. They should have got more draft picks or whatever.
I was panicking.
I know you were. I wasn't going to call you out specifically, but, you know, kind of insinuate. But I really think, like, do I think that Dyson Daniels is going to step into the Atlanta Hawks and fill the void, so to speak, of DeJounte Murray? Like, no. But I think his skill set is really complementary to what the Hawks are trying to build. Hopefully his offense catches up to where his defense is so clearly strong. And I think that has been what people have kind of held on to with him playing with Australia in the Olympics is like, whoa, we're not just seeing him being put on the best offensive player for the opposing team like he did with the Pelicans. We're also seeing his offensive game grow where he's taking good shots, where he's just making good passes. All of that, like, get complete game where, yeah, I've been high on this guy. because he was a part of a package deal, because he also came with the draft picks. That is what made this trade so positive, I think, in the Hawks' light, because it was so obvious that DeJounte and Trey weren't working together. So for you to be able to trade that out with future assets, as well as get a guy who is so strong defensively, which is going to help out Trey, and hey, if he can improve his offensive game like we've seen lately, it's just going to make things even better and hopefully leads to an Atlanta Hawks team that surprises a lot of people because they don't have the necessarily, you know, the star power when it came to when it comes to the names on the roster.
All right. I'm on NBA.com right now. Dyson Daniels, 2X, baby, coming my way. I'm going to buy the jersey. All right, Caleb, appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, man, I'll talk to you soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.